Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And yes, indeed, it is really happening in Prashantinilam all the time and at various levels. Ask any devotee, any student, any seeker, any visitor, any pilgrim, and each one will have a story to tell of his amazing grace, of his unmistakable powerful presence, the presence of the powerhouse of compassion. And while this is happening every single day at the individual level, in this year of Bhagwan's 90th birthday, what we also see is this series of celebrations. There is no day in Prashanti when there is not a program of love and gratitude, especially in this year. And now you have devotees from Rajasthan who are on their Parthi Yatra, their spiritual pilgrimage, and they are using this opportunity to make their offering of love at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And then the devotees of Madhya Pradesh will arrive. Even though the D-Day is 73 days still to go, the count is on and the celebration too is on.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy, 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 be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. All will be happy, God will be happy.
Love is His message. Love is His form, and love is timeless, celebrating an epochal moment in an endless epic, 90 years of Satya Sai.
In fact, sitting in the Sai Kulwant Hall for all these programs, I often get reminded of what Bhagwan said in this month, more than 5 decades ago, way back in 1962. It was the first day of the Dasara celebrations, and while hoisting the Prashanti flag on the Prashantinilayam Mandir, Bhagwan said, "At Prashantinilayam, every day is a festival day and every moment is a holy moment." In Telugu, Nitya Kalyanam Pachatoranam, perpetual festivity, perpetual green festoons. And during the Dasara that year, Swami explained in unmistakable terms that task for His incarnation. And He said, "I have come for Veda Samrakshana, for Vidvat Poshana, and for Dharma Sthapana." That is, to protect the Vedas, which are basically original knowledge and wisdom, which can divinize man. Vidvat Poshana, which is fostering of those who take to this message, live this message and propagate this message. And finally, Dharma Sthapana, the restoration of righteousness in this world. Swami said, all these three are interrelated. The basis for Dharma is the Veda, the knowledge of what is right and what is not. That is what is contained in the Vedas. And the people who share this knowledge are the Vidwans, who are the instruments who will work towards Dharma Sthapana. And Dharma indeed is the only panacea for the ills plaguing mankind today. God incarnates for Dharma Sthapana. Lord Krishna very clearly states this in the Bhagavad Gita, and Swami too has elucidated this on so many occasions. And Swami's life has been actually a splendid oration citation of this. Way back in 1947, he had written to his brother, "I have a vow to lead all who stray away from the straight path into goodness and save them." And when we look at how he has been doing this, it's really breathtaking. It is so profound. Swami says, if there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there'll be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there'll be order in the nation. And if there's order in the nation, then there will be peace in the world. So it begins there. It begins with creating hearts filled with righteousness. And to precisely do this, especially to the younger generation, you had Bhagwan lay so much stress on education and human values. And eventually, setting up the model university for the world, the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. When Bhagwan unfurled this institute to the world on the eve of his 56th birthday, addressing the mammoth assembly on that momentous morning, Swami said, "You are aware that there are now 108 universities in India. This university is 109th, one more than the traditional total. May all the universities succeed and serve the country well. But this university must be distinct from the rest, and it must attain a unique status." And then when he actually inaugurated the college, he said, "Many carry swollen heads because of the degrees they have won through the study of books. Humility is the mark of scholarship. If this mark is absent, the scholar is an ignoramus. By learning mere facts, to what extent can man profit?" And then Bhagwan says, "More important items to study and watch are, how broad is your heart? How much benefit has society derived from you? What are the sacred pursuits that can make you better and more useful? How much are you aware of your inner principle? What exactly is the purpose and the goal of your existence?" And as he concluded the discourse, Swami said, "This is the inaugural day of our university. This has been planted today. The students are its roots. The tree will grow with branches on all sides. Countless flowers will bloom. It will provide and promote peace and security to the world. In order that it may realize this result, students must, as the roots do, remain firm and provide sustenance." Students are the roots. They have to remain firm. They have to provide sustenance. This was what Bhagwan mentioned when he started the university, and he has reiterated this on so many occasions. In a letter that Swami wrote to the boys in March 1988, Swami says, "The problems of the country can be solved only when the special role of education is recognized and efforts are made to realize it. On you, the students, depends the progress or decline of the country. You are the builders of future India. You are the roots of this tree." And today, yes, countless flowers have bloomed on this beautiful tree of Satya Sai, Sri Satya Sai system of integral education, and each flower is spreading its fragrance in its own way, making the world a better place, little by little, fragrance by fragrance. And there are some flowers which are very unique, very special. One day, while speaking to the boys before the commencement of a Kodaikanal trip, Bhagwan said, "Both salt and camphor look white, isn't it? Salt adds taste to whatever we eat. It adds flavor. But the camphor just burns itself for the Lord. In fact, the tradition of aarti, Bhagwan has explained, started because in earlier times there was no electricity, and aarti is the only occasion for people to have a good darshan of the Lord. And that is the occasion when the camphor just gives itself away to enable others to envision God." Swami said, "Even though salt is nice, salt adds a lot of taste, but camphor is special. Both are white, but camphor is unique." And there are so many like this in the world today who exist only because they can serve the Lord. They exist because they want to exist for the Lord. That is the only thing that gives meaning to their every breath. Every extra second they continue to live on earth because they can do something for the Lord. And one such group, if I may say so, is the Sai Sanidhi group, the group of former students of Baba's university who chose to not go for a career outside but become truly carriers of his mission and grand message, holy, with all their heart, mind and soul, with all their youth, their energy, their time, their knowledge. There are close to 220 such alumni today serving Bhagwan in various institutions, be it the university in all its campuses, Puttaparthi, Vrindavan, Mudanalli, Anandpur, or the hospitals in Puttaparthi and Whitefield, or in the Central Trust, or the publication division, the Bhaktasahayak division, which looks after the canteens and Gokulam and so on, or the higher secondary school, or the Vidya Vahini, or of course, yes, Radio Sai too. And just a couple of days ago, this group, the Sai Sanidhi group, made their offering of love and gratitude to Bhagwan on this year of his 90th birthday in the Sai Kulwant Hall. It was September 6th, 2015. And it is the day commemorating the starting of Central Trust. Isn't it really interesting that Bhagwan combined Sai Sanidhi Day with the Central Trust Anniversary Day? To me, it is not without significance, because for Swami, as he told so many times, his boys are the Central Trust. For him, they are his property. It is they who will ensure the continuance of his mission and message. And you indeed got such a powerful, such feeling if you watched the program in Sai Kulwant Hall on September 6, 2015. You can still watch the videos on our website. So many members of Sai Sanidhi spoke their heart out. And what Swami means to the students, what Swami means to them, and what students mean for Swami. This relationship was so transparent. In fact, it got beautifully summarized in a nice song that was sung that beautiful evening.
प्यार की नगरी में सदा
song went on. And whenever I hear this, and as we were sitting and singing this, I was reminded of one thing that Swami said during summer showers of 1979. Swami said, there is a fundamental difference between Gopikas and Yadavas, and that is what decided their destiny. Swami said, to the Yadavas, because they belong to Krishna's clan, they always said, Krishna is mine, Krishna is ours, Krishna is ours. And Swami said, this is actually what led to their self-destruction. But the Gopikas always said, Krishna, we are yours. Each Gopika said, Krishna, I am yours. To together, they said, "So Krishna, we are yours." And this is the same feeling that is echoed in this song. All the students sing, "Sai, hum tere hain." We are yours. And as the song was going on, and as the brothers were sharing their beautiful sentiments and powerful, heartfelt moments, it was really a very poignant and powerful session. And that made me think that such moments are moments that should never be allowed to conclude. Such are the moments which make our lives, which add meaning to our lives, which give a direction to our lives. And I thought we should continue this heartfelt session, which only evokes a sense of inspiration, a sense of connecting with that powerhouse of love. And that is what has led to this evening's session of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. We have now in the studios three members of the Sai Sanidhi team. On that day, on September 6th, a few of them shared, but each one of them's story is amazing. And I thought we should continue this journey. And in the studio, that is how we have three brothers from the university, Brother Abhinav Nair, Brother Sai Praneet, and Brother Sandeep Patnaik. All three of them are students, as I told you, who decided to stay on and serve in Bhagwan's institution. But the unique thing is, all three of them decided to work for him after the departure of his physical form. When the beautiful form was there in our midst, you needed no motivation to be here. Every day was magical. Every day you were thankful to him for this opportunity. But what is it that is driving students even now to stay on? What is it that is making them glued to Prashanti? What is it that is propelling them to be part of his mission, forsaking lucrative and actually quite tempting opportunities outside? So well, that is what we will dwell on tonight, straight from the hearts of the members of Sai Sanidhi, in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:59, and I just mentioned today we're going to have this discussion on the draw of Sai Sanidhi. And we have Brother Abhinav Nair from Mumbai, who joined this year, 2015, for his PhD in Biosciences. Sai Praneet from Vishakhapatnam, who joined Prashantinam University after Bhagwan Samadhi as a research associate, and later on went on to do his M.Tech, Masters in Technology in Chemistry, and now is pursuing his PhD. And Brother Sandeep Patnaik, who belongs to an exclusive class of alumni. He has done his entire education in Swami's institutions, right from primary school, that is class 1, till his post-graduation, which he completed in 2011. And now he's pursuing his PhD in nanoscience. All of them stay in the hostel and mentor their juniors, their younger brothers. So let's begin, and let's tune ourselves to their connect with Bhagwan. So welcome, brothers, to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Prishti.
Thank you, Brother.
So can we start with you, Brother Abhinav?
Sure.
You are the youngest among all the Sai Sanadhi members, you joined in 2015 Bhagwan's hostel. You wanted to extend your stay
right
in his college, in his university. So what is it that drove you back to him after you finished your education?
Well, currently I'm feeling really beautiful sitting here as a Sai Sanidhi member.
Wonderful.
And in this beautiful show. And how I came back is a beautiful story, yet an unexpected one for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 2013 that I passed out of my MSc, second year MSc, and I had actually no plans of coming back for my PhD or higher education. Our institute was one among the different options that I had kept in mind, but not at all the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to my parents in Bahrain to prepare for various exams, competitive exams. And the trigger point to come back came one day in Bahrain itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give a background, I was, according to me, leading a perfect Sai student's life and attending bhajans very regular in Samiti, Vedam chanting, be it Balvika sessions, small sessions I used to take. And,
so you used to take Balvika's classes in Bahrain?
Not classes, small talks. I used to just give them small talks
nice.
And just to motivate them. Kind of.
Even I should do that. That's why when I used to go back to Orissa after my... during winter vacations or summer vacations. Right. You know, it was a mandatory tradition in our place that the students from the Sai University have to conduct Balvikas. And I should do it daily. And the Balvikas gurus would do it once in a week, you know, on Sundays. But I was doing it every single day. So that's why I was curious.
I'm sure you would have enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so according to me, I was really living a kind of perfect Sai student life. Out there. And one such day, while everything was going fine, I got a terrible throat infection.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bad that I had to take around 7 to 8 antibiotic injections, and yet it was not going.
Mm-hmm.
I even had to be admitted in an hospital for one day just for a throat infection, so it was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink anything. Even while breathing, I used to get that stinging pain in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad phase, kind of, because throat is one place where it connects everything and your mood is completely lost.
Yes.
And 1 week I was almost on bed.
Can
because I also
eat,
had fever.
Nor speak.
And within a week I had to come back to India. So that was also playing in my mind that the last few days here I can't even enjoy my mom's food. So one such day, after about maybe a week of this pain and trouble, slowly frustration was building up. What added to it was I actually was expecting positive result in one of the exams that I gave, and I just realized that I didn't clear that exam.
Mm-hmm.
That was point one, and then so many small things started bottling up. I couldn't sleep, and I remember this was the day when it was 11 at the night. All were asleep, but I was not getting any sleep. The pain was terrible, and on such occasions is what we do the most outside is log into Facebook. So it was 11 at night over there. I had my laptop, so I logged on to Facebook. The frustration even increased when I saw all of them enjoying out there, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
They were friends from Mumbai and different places.
Mm-hmm.
They're all enjoying their partying, they're doing all sorts of nonsense, and nothing is happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And according to me, I'm leading this ideal kind of life. The only thing I wasn't doing was I wasn't getting up in the morning at 5:30, but okay, at least by 7 I used to get up. That's the only guilt factor
I had. But doing Balvikas and doing everything else.
Yeah, that was a little guilt playing behind, you know, I couldn't get up early morning, but fine. I was, rest of the day it was fine. My parents also kept me motivated to follow the principles. And so as I was saying, I saw these people out there enjoying their life, so-called enjoyment of the current generation outside. And I was wondering, you know, the regular question that why do bad things happen to good people kind of thing.
So you felt like that. I mean, you're doing all the good things and you're here bedridden.
Today I actually laugh at that, but yeah, at that time I did feel that because it was also added by the frustration of one solid week of pain, not able to get up, and next week I'm going, I can't enjoy whatever I
and
wanted.
You were not asking for anything, you were asking for at least mom's food, even that was denied.
Nothing else. Or I couldn't go out, you know, do
you're
some shopping.
You're partying.
and to top all of that, I was even, you know, doing Swami's work. I was doing seva out there. There was a beautiful seva that people in Bahrain do, the samitis in Bahrain do. That is like during the winter months, early in the morning, our mothers prepare tea and then we take it to construction workers early in the morning, because desert winds are really cold early in the morning, around 4:30 to 6 that time. And so people who are working, these construction workers who are working, they'll be really happy to have something really hot in early in the morning. So we used to go by around 6, reach there and distribute this tea to each of them. So I considered, you know, putting all this together, I was like, I'm doing amazing seva, I'm living the light kind of life, and this is what is happening to me. What's my motivation to continue this? Mm. There are people out there whom I feel aren't adhering to any of Swami's principles, according to me, sorry.
Yeah.
And they're enjoying out there like that, and here I am. This is what Swami gives me. So, as I was wondering about all this, the frustration level keeps adding with each page that I scroll on Facebook. So finally it reaches a tipping point and I say, Swami, that's it. I'm really frustrated. I do all this and this is what you give me. I give up. You know, tomorrow onwards, just watch, tomorrow onwards I'm going to, even I will indulge in all these nasty activities and I want to see, you know, how would you respond? I was so angry. I'm sure I wouldn't have meant that, but I was really angry at Swami.
At that point in time, you were like so frustrated that, and what is the point of doing all the good things as well? I can also, quote unquote, enjoy life the way others are enjoying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know if I really meant that, but yeah, it was an open challenge to Swami at night, 11 o'clock. So, just as I told that to Swami in my own mind, I was really serious and angry, and I was in pain. My WhatsApp beeped and I just checked who is this. It was an unknown number and there was somebody out there who was, we had made a small movie, SS from hostel sir, and this was the person who was congratulating us for our good work, and I was like, okay, I'm not in a mood to chat right now. So I just said, thank you.
You don't know this person?
I don't know that person. It was a new number, no photo or pic on that WhatsApp thing. And this person says, that person, she ended the dialogue with a sentence that said, I was going through a terrible phase in my life. Now that caught my attention, because even I was kind of, you know, in my own respect, going through a terrible phase in my life. So I asked her, this was a lady, she was from South Africa. So I asked her, just to be curious, I just asked, so what are you talking about? What phase in your life? So she said, it's a long story. I said, okay, I'm fine, I have time. Anyway, it was night, 11:30, and I was actually just browsing Facebook. So I said, yeah, I have time. And she started a story. Every episode in her story was a slap on my face.
Mm-hmm.
She began with the incident wherein she got pneumonia. It went on to be so bad, and she was suffering a lot. The next episode is wherein she gets tuberculosis. Just as she's out of tuberculosis, there's a relapse that comes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad that she has to take injections every day for around 3 to 4 months. Here I was complaining about 5 to 7 injections, right? I was complaining about throat infection. She was having tuberculosis when it relapsed, it was stage 2.
Oh my God.
Her weight came down to around 29 kgs. The injections were so bad and the side effects were so bad, and she was under so much pain that she also contemplated suicide.
Oh my God.
And actually here I was wondering, why is she telling all this to me? But okay, it was just going on in the flow. And she says, but you know what, brother, Swami loves me a lot. I was taken aback a little. I said, okay, maybe it'll come as the chat progresses. It didn't end there. She said, you know what, brother, my parents were also against me. I am the only Sai devotee in this house and I adhere to Swami's teachings, as in I don't take non-vegetarian food, I don't drink, and whereas in my home all are heavy drinkers and they have non-veg only, my parents are so irritated with me and my stubborn behavior that they don't support me, and I'm in such a condition wherein I can't even get up, where she couldn't. It was past, and she couldn't get up to prepare her own food. It was reaching a stage wherein her parents wanted to abandon her, that bad.
Oh my God.
Again, a slap on my face wherein I was, you know, telling Swami, I'm adhering to all your principles, your rules, and this is what you give me. Here she was, her parents were actually, I had got such beautiful parents, her parents were actually, you know, against her. Being a Swami's follower and practicing his values out there. But again, there's a repetition wherein she says, but I know Swami loves me a lot. Now I was curious, why is she telling this always? I mean, what? So I actually asked her, sister, what do you feel? I mean, why do you say this, that Swami loves me a lot? What made you feel like that? And what was the motivation behind? Because I'm actually personally searching for that. I didn't tell that to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, okay, let me narrate to you one incident. I prayed to Swami to give me enough strength so that I could sit up and read Satcharita for 1 week, finish that Parayanam. I was wondering, I mean, that's not a big deal for us. We just do a Parayanam and finish. For her, the poor thing, she had to actually pray to Swami to give her enough energy to sit up and read.
Oh my God.
That was her condition. And here I was in such amazing condition, browsing Facebook. And there she was praying to have enough energy to read Tapovanam. And she said she finished somehow. And on the 7th day, while performing Arati, Swami blessed her profusely. Now what I thought was maybe there was Vibhuti manifestation or something of that sort. And Swami, what she said was, I asked what happened. She said, there was a beautiful shower, rain. And it was kind of a drizzle. And I knew it was blessing from Swami's, Swami blessing me from the heavens. Now, here I was standing, and I wouldn't have even noticed if at all it rained outside. For this lady, it was Swami's indication of his love. It was really, now I was getting into the conversation so much. I was deeply touched. It doesn't end there. She goes on to say that, On one such occasion in that Samiti, where miracles happen, where Swami writes in Vibhuti on photos, she was saying that, she was narrating to me about a star that she sees outside her window, and she claims it is Swami.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, okay, I mean, where is she going? I mean, what is she hinting at? But still, I didn't want to cut the flow. I said, let her continue. So she said she was telling the convener of that Samiti about that star. And as she was narrating to the convener about that star, on Swami's photo adjacent to where they were standing, on Vibhuti it was written stop, STOP.
Mm-hmm.
So they just collected the Vibhuti and gave it back to her, and again she started narrating, again it came stop. So she thought that perhaps she should not disclose that particular personal thing that she has with Swami. Maybe it's something personal to her. So she stopped it. I mean, she was not going to tell about it. 1 week later, in the Sanatana Sarthi that month, it was written, stop means star of Parthi.
Oh my God. Star of Parthi.
Star of Parthi. In some context, it was mentioned like that. Swami had mentioned, stop means star of Parthi. And that was an amazing assurance for her. And all this was actually taking toll on me here.
All her signs of grace are coming through rains and stars. She's amazing.
So, as I was going through all this, I was actually wondering to myself, I mean, where is she heading? And here she was having so much pain. She used to actually go to AIDS colony for seva on a wheelchair in this condition. Her seva was putting vibhuti to children. That was...
And you were thinking, I'm doing service.
I'm doing seva early morning, going and that.
Everyone should be serving her, actually. And here
that
she is.
That against her parents' wishes.
Against her parents'
wishes. So many constraints and so many restrictions. And finally, the tear that was about to come, it just came when she mentioned that. You know what, brother? This is Swami for us. This is Swami for us because we see Swami in these rains. We see Swami when Swami says it's star of Parthi. For us, that is Swami's blessing. That is Swami's presence with us. That is where we find fulfillment in our lives. And you don't know how fortunate you are that you have received His darshan, sparshan, sambhashan. And when she said that, it it was like a flashback for me myself, and I actually felt ashamed that after receiving so much, we take Swami for granted and, you know, challenge such stupid things to him. And finally, she said, "And brother, you know what?" I said, "What? What now?" She said, "I haven't seen Satya Sai Baba. I have never left South Africa."
Oh my God.
My God.
And, and here I was, you know, a Sai student, got so many Pad Namaskars and Sparshan, Sambhashan. And I was having such doubts, I was having such fight within. Each episode that she narrated was actually a slap on my face, wherein Swami told, you don't know what I've given you. Okay, don't underestimate what I gave you all these years. And that was one revelation wherein I actually saw Swami's hand so much, because that was the point when I just challenged him, night 11 o'clock. By the time the chat finished, it was morning 4.
So I was
wondering that...
It was a long mentoring session.
Exactly, why she had to... That also came from Facebook. She got my number from Facebook and then she WhatsApped me her wishes. It all began like that. Why she had to do it that particular time? I just challenged Swami, and here she is describing her life story, complete stranger, and each episode connects so beautifully to me. And finally, I'm here that was the reason that I came back, wherein I felt that I want to live this life of a Sai student once again. But this time, with the awareness of all the fortune that I'm blessed with from Swami. Not that I'm perfect today. Even today I have my own flaws, in spite of being in the system. But every time I go astray, this particular incident just tears at me right in front of me and says, "Get back. You don't want to regret again in future." And thus, I'm really grateful to Swami that today I got admission into the PhD course, and today I'm here as a Sai Sannidhi member. It has been a beautiful journey, and hope so it'll be beautiful again.
Amazing. And sometimes there are these moments in life which are reality checks, right? They knock you.
Exactly.
They shake you into knowing what you are actually blessed with.
Exactly.
As they say, you know, every time you open your mouth to speak, there are this many billion people who cannot even open their mouth to say a word.
Right.
They say even as you open your eyes and see there are these 3 billion people who never ever have actually looked and seen the world and its colors. You know, it's like that. When you think about all those people who had the chance to actually touch him, to actually be with him, to actually see him with physical eyes, it is such a microscopic minority now. And how every moment today when you look at it, is so precious. And I think it was this feeling all the time. People who came to Bhagwan in the 90s always felt that they missed so much.
Exactly.
In the 80s and 70s. And people who came in the 80s felt that they missed so much in the 60s and 70s. And you know, it's always there. But I think only when such moments happen, you know, like what you went through, you come to the realization of what Bhagwan is.
He really is.
Perhaps you should once in a while go out just to get this experience. Yeah. Many times when you go out of Prashanti, you really experience the power and the presence of Prashanti, isn't it?
Because while we are here, we tend to take the system, Swami, for granted, because it's a daily affair.
Yes.
Now my classmates who have passed out, they come back and say, "We wish we are again here."
Yes.
And we wish that we get one more opportunity, but they did their MBA.
But now, you know, the way you will value the system.
Exactly.
And the way you will utilize the system will be something very different. And I really pray to Swami that, you know, from now on a new chapter begins. Exactly. As you join the Sai Sannidhi. Brother Praneeth, can we come to you now? Please tell us, how did your connect with Bhagwan happen? You know, you are also someone who chose to stay on, and you are someone... I have seen in the mandir, always in the front, taking pictures and doing videos. I had always seen you on the sidelines, but I had never known much. And now seeing you as a member of the Sai Sanidhi is such a heartening feeling. And I know that you must have had your beautiful moments with Bhagwan, because in those final years of Swami, by virtue of holding the camera, you had very close access to Swami. I had seen you very close with to the physical presence of Bhagwan. So tell us, how was your life when you were in the college, and then what prompted you to continue here?
Swami was part of my life right from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were devotees from even before my birth, and then I had the rare opportunity of getting the three blessings which any child would get in their life. The first one is the annaprasam, which is the first morsel of food which Swami would put into
Swami the, fed you?
Yes, Swami
wow.
fed me the first time.
Oh my God.
Such a unique opportunity.
Yes.
And the second one was, according to Indian tradition, the first lock of hair will be cut with a function at home and
yes.
all that. So Swami graciously blessed me with that opportunity.
Oh, he, that chance. So he did that?
Yeah.
When someone else asked Bhagwan for that, Swami said, I am Baba, I am not barber. But for you, he did that role. You are so gracious.
And the third one was, he did the Aksharabhyasam for me. That
oh,
is
wow.
the starting of anybody's education life.
Fantastic.
First he wrote the Omkaram. And then he made me write in the next
slate.
Time, slate.
Wow.
So, from my childhood onwards, the only prayer for me and my brother was to get a seat in Swami's college, Swami's school. So, we kept trying right from the primary school and higher secondary school, but we failed consistently. So, finally in 2006, Swami answered our prayers and gave seat for me in undergraduate course and my brother in higher secondary school. I still remember vividly the day when I saw my name outside South Indian canteen door. I ran with excitement to my parents to tell I got seat. I got selected.
It's like you've got one Nobel Prize.
Exactly.
Even greater actually.
And it is surely my parents' prayers that we both are here right now, and we are continuing to do PhD and part of Sai Sanidhi group also.
Wonderful.
Throughout my stay in Bharti, Swami always saw to it that the innermost desires are fulfilled every time. I always wanted to be as close as possible to Swami. And when I joined, I observed that if you are a photographer, you will be very close to Swami.
Yes.
You can sit next to him, just across the railings like that.
Yes.
And so because you would be needed every day, because students will get a chance to interact with Swami, and I could capture those beautiful moments. So I was praying inside for that opportunity. And in 2007, during Prema Jyoti exhibition in Purnachandra Auditorium, one of our professor, Deepak Anand sir,
yes.
he asked me if I would like to be a photographer from the student side. And I immediately responded yes. And then from then on, I enjoyed Swami's proximity through and through.
Wow. The camera was the passport to
yeah.
proximity.
So I was to get a very close opportunity to sit near to Swami, just across the railings. And in so many occasions, I was allowed to go to places like Ajur Mandir, which are actually not allowed for any other students as such.
Yes.
And what I learned was that if a wish is pure, and if Swami is our goal, He'll Himself create an opportunity to come closer to Him. And this shower of love continued during my whole stay, and even in the final days, when Swami was hospitalized, this shower continued. And I am fortunate to have the same blood group as of Swami, that is A positive. And so I could stay in super hospital along with Swami for about 21 days.
Oh. So you were there as someone who was always available if needed for Bhagwan.
Yes, yes. Because yeah. I was relatively free compared to other Sai Sanidhi members here who are A positive. So they kept me as backup in the super itself. And whoever was coming, they were giving the blood and they were going, but I was kept all the time there.
As a manager.
Okay. Wow.
So today when I look back the whole stay till now, I feel that every time a door closed, another one opened. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel any need or urge to go out of Puttaparthi at all. It was in summer vacation of 2011. Mm-hmm. I just passed out of MSc and Swami was admitted in hospital and I finished my MSc and applied for research in our institute. And I could not prepare well because of the, I was not in the right frame of mind. And
trauma of Swami's going and all that.
And I could not write the exam well and the results came that I could not clear the exam. So I lost all the hope to continue the stay in our institute as there was no more opportunity for me. And then I applied elsewhere to join coaching classes for competitive exams. And the day I was leaving Parthi to pursue higher studies, that's when I got a call from Dr. R. Sai Satish from institute saying that he got a funded project from the government of India and he asked me if I would like to join as research associate in the project.
Mm-hmm. The day you were supposed to leave.
Leave Parthi.
Oh wow.
And my obvious and spontaneous answer was yes. Not just that, I actually learned later that this position was non-existent in our university till then.
Oh, research associate.
Yeah, it was created.
Oh my God.
For me personally, it was like Swami's way of creating opportunity just for me to stay back.
Wow, amazing.
And the story doesn't end there actually. Next year, they started an M.Tech course in analytical chemistry and chemical instrumentation. And since I wanted to pursue higher studies, and it's important for me to have that technical knowledge which could help in higher studies. So I joined this M.Tech course also and the Swami gave two more years to continue in his institute.
Wow.
By Swami's grace, I cleared the entrance test after the M.Tech is over for PhD. And incidentally, they discontinued the M.Tech course today.
So oh, after you finished? Oh my God.
So opened and closed.
Yeah.
It was open only for him.
Yeah.
So personally, I would believe that this was Swami's way of working. Like Swami started this course just for me to stay back for more time.
Amazing.
And now I'm here with second year of PhD and let us see if this door closes, what next door will open.
Well, that has been your experience all the while. He has always opened doors because you only wanted to be here. And I think,
and serve him.
And serve him. And that's really amazing. You know, you had this opportunity to be in the hospital during those 21 days. And nobody was allowed actually in the hospital.
Yes.
You know, I remember going at that time and we used to be allowed only because I was perhaps a staff, you know, allowed to sit in the dome, which is just go to the dome and, you know, do prayer for some time and come back. But that also for a very short while. Mm-hmm. But you had the opportunity at that time to actually be there for the 21 days and, you know, spend every moment waiting for a chance to serve or spend every moment serving him, actually, in your mind. I think that is really fantastic. And after that, Swami's created opportunities for you all the time.
Yeah.
That was also an opportunity that was created.
Yeah.
You being A positive, positively he has kept you, you know, closer to him, given you chances to serve. Amazing. Beautiful. So Brother Sandeep, can we listen to you share about what prompted you to continue in Bhagwan's hostel? You are someone who did your entire education here, and actually it's very few people who belong to your breed who do their entire education, and many times you would find that people who do their entire education, you know, they have seen enough of this place, now they want to go and explore. but you still chose to continue here. So tell us, what has been your motivation?
Yeah, thank you, brother. First of all, I really thank Swami because he has borne with me all these years. In spite of all our follies, in spite of all our mistakes, he always keeps us close to him. And I think it is all because of his own, of his grace and love for us.
Absolutely.
You know, when you join in the primary school and you move on for your higher higher courses at Prashanthi Nilayam, there is always a fear because you have to keep crossing some hurdles.
Yes.
You know, from 10th class when you move to 11th class, you have an entrance exam and there is a lot of fear whether you'll be back at Swami's.
At that time, the only goal in life is I have to clear this entrance exam.
So similarly, for the lack of time, I cannot narrate all the experiences, but I would just like to narrate how Swami brought me into this PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So towards the end of my master's program, I was again in a dilemma, like, what should I do next? At one side, there was this urge to stay back and serve Swami, and other side, there were like the career and, you know, parents telling, yeah, you should also think about your career and things like that. And many people would ask, see, you have always been here and you have seen Swami and you have been with Swami. What about the outside world? You need to see the outside world. And then often I would reply that, see, for us, you know, Swami is the world. And if there is a world outside Swami, I don't think it is relevant to us. We don't need to have a world which is outside of Swami. So Swami is our world. Bhagwan, one day what happened, I think March, the first week of March in 2011, and I happened to go near Swami with a rose. And I realized that it was, my second year of final year and the last few months left. So that was a time when I had written a very long letter to Swami. I had poured out all my feelings to him. And when I went near Swami and I gave the letter, Bhagwan also responded very nicely. Those were the days, if you remember, Swami was very physically weak.
Yes.
And he was hardly speaking anything. So he opened the letter and kept reading it for a long time, and I kept sitting beside him. And all the while he was, you know, patting my head and trying to catch my shoulder and things like that. And then in the letter I had just written that, Swami, I want to pursue a PhD. Please guide me where I should do it. And then Swami kept on pointing at that, that letter, that word PhD. And then with his hand he indicated, do it here, like that.
Oh, do it here.
So he just pointed. So
here.
To me it was, it looked like that to me at least.
Mm.
And then and there I decided, if at all I do a PhD, I should do it at Prashanthi Nilayam only. And so that was a strong message from Swami. So by every means, I decided that I would do a PhD. But then there are only two ways by which you can get into a PhD at our institute. The one way is you clear the UGC NET exam and then you get enrolled for PhD directly. Otherwise, you have to do a 2-year MPhil, 1.5 years MPhil, and then get into PhD. So, otherwise, if you are an M.Tech like Praneet, then directly after your M.Tech, you can join for PhD.
But you should also have a door there.
Yeah. So, since, you know, I did my master's in nanoscience and there is no NET exam for nanoscience, I had to do this MPhil program. And it was again in March 2012. One day, Brother Satyajit had come to hostel and he had given a beautiful Parayanam session. He had given a beautiful talk. And in that, he narrated a beautiful experience. And at the end, he said, see, when you are with Swami, you don't need to depend on anybody else. Swami will take care of everything. And he said that he wanted a camera or something and he had borrowed it from somebody else. And Swami said, why did you ask him? When I am around, you should ask me. So suddenly that incident struck me hard and I decided, yeah, I have passed my MSc, I have passed my masters, and I'm still depending on my parents for money, because MPhil we don't get a stipend. So I decided that from then, I would not burden my parents, I wouldn't be a burden to my parents, I won't take any money from my parents, and I'll depend only on Swami for sustenance. And the next day I called my parents and said that tomorrow onwards, from this month onwards, you need not send any money to me, Swami will take care. They were somewhat surprised, like, what has gone wrong with him? From where will he get money?
But did you have any clue how you are going to sustain
it? I didn't have any clue.
Oh.
It was just a decision. But then, you know, if you take one step towards God, they say God takes 100 towards you. At the end of March, means it was hardly 3 weeks since I had decided, our HOD comes to us and says, see, there's a fellowship which UGC is providing, the BSR fellowship. Mm-hmm. And see, although you are pursuing your MPhil, you can join for the, means we'll say that you have finished the coursework and you can join directly for a PhD. I was like, is it possible? Because there are only two ways by which you can get into PhD and I have not yet finished. There was another year for me left for finishing the MPhil program. There was no way by which this could happen actually. And then HOD said, okay, let's try. And then he approached the authorities. There were a lot of opposition because there was nothing. There was no
precedent
by which people can get. And then something happened. I don't know what happened exactly. And everything fell into place. And the administration was forced to take a decision by which we all would be enrolled. And it is like March 31st was the last day for the fellowship, for us to claim for the fellowship. And March 27th, we had our interview. And March 29th, we were enrolled for PhD. And March 31st, we could claim.
Claim your stipend. Wow.
So that is how Bhagwan took care of, you know, helping me. You know, I had just taken a small decision that I won't depend on my parents anymore. And by that month end itself, Bhagwan
amazing
me with unique opportunity.
You know, when you want to sincerely practice his teachings, he's there just beside you,
yeah,
holding your hand. And he will do whatever it takes to ensure that you are on that path. Fantastic. Brother Sandeep, since you are also someone who has spent so many years in Bhagwan's institution and unlike many of us, have had the chance to be in the primary school. So can you please go down your memory lane and also pick for us a few instances which are evergreen in your mind from your primary school days?
Yeah, sure. I joined the Sri Satya Sai Primary School in the year 1994. So when I was in my first standard, you know, you have just left your parents and the only means you, of course, Bhagwan was there. But mind you, 1994 was the year when, you know, the Prashantilalam Mandir was being built. And most of the time, Swami had spent in Vrindavan. And very few months,
yes,
Swami spent in Prashantilalam. So that was the year when, you know, I missed my parents a lot. And the way Bhagwan, you know, captures a small child's heart is something unique. I'm sure each primary school student would have a unique story to say the way Bhagwan has captured everybody's heart. I would just like to narrate a small incident which happened to me. So, yeah, it was, you know, during the games time. That was the one time where, you know, you'll enjoy yourself as a small child. And one fine day when I went in the morning to pick up my shoes, I found my socks missing.
Mm-hmm.
I reported this to my teacher saying that, see, my socks is missing, only my shoes are there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, see, how can you be so careless? After the games, you are required to remove your socks and put it in the shoes properly. And it means that you are careless. So till you find your socks, you are not supposed to play games. So for the next 1 week or so, I was just sitting next to my teacher and watching all my classmates play. And it was,
so sad.
It was such a, you know, I was just brooding.
As a tiny tot, so terrible is it.
So far away from home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then one morning, I think it was a Sunday or a Thursday, we were seated in Kulwant Hall for Darshan. And Bhagwan, after the interview, he came out holding a polythene bag. And guess what was in the bag?
So?
And he started distributing the contents. And I was so happy when I saw it was socks.
Actually, frankly, all my student years, I've never known of a day when Swami distributed socks. I mean, he's given everything. Chocolates to calendars.
And yeah, the story doesn't end just there. When he came near me, without a word, he dropped two pairs on the lap. So and he didn't speak a word to me, mind you. He didn't speak a word, nor did he ask me to take Parnamaskar. But then without a word, he just dropped two socks.
Quietly.
two pairs of socks on my lap. And then, yes, needless to say, a bond of love was established.
Well, you knew, right? Even as a class one kid, you knew that here is someone who will always be with me.
That is when I realized that, yes, it is not that I am away from my parents, whenever I need anything, I can look up to Swami and he'll always be there to care for me.
Wow. That happened in primary school, class 1.
First standard.
And it happened now when you're doing your PhD.
PhD, yeah.
He's continued that. Fantastic. Yeah, go on, Sandeep.
And yeah, and then, you know, as we grow, then we, the same person whom we love and we have full faith in, you know, as we grow and as we start learning things, slowly we start getting doubts. So I would like to narrate an experience where he cleared all my doubts.
Okay.
So, it was in my sixth standard, and our class teacher used to every morning read out beautiful stories of Swami's childhood, the way he conducted himself, the beautiful, those are wonderful stories. And then there came the episode where, you know, Swami threw his books and declared that he is the avatar of the age. At that moment, no, I got a doubt. I just asked the person next to me, "Brother, Swami studied only till 8th class, and that too in a Telugu medium village school in Prashanthinilam. Does he know to read and write English?" Since we had often heard Swami speaking in English, but I don't know.
Suddenly
a doubt. And then that boy said, "Hey, Bhagwan is God. Swami is God. You just don't entertain such doubts in your head." The conversation just ended there. After a few days, when we were seated in Kulwant Hall for darshan, I happened to sit in the side line. And as Bhagwan came near us, there was a boy sitting next to me, and he had written an open letter to Swami. You see the primary school children, the way beautifully they decorate and write. So their handwritings are also always beautiful.
Hmm.
So he had written in big letters, "Swami, please come to school." And as Bhagwan came near, he just read that out loudly, looking at me, "Swami, please come to school." And then with the most mischievous smile, he looked at me and said, "School 8th class mein chhod diya." All of you are laughing. Everybody around me laughed.
Wow.
But I had tears in my eyes, you know. That is the time when Bhagwan drove into my head that it's not just that I know English. I know every thought that flickers across your head.
Wow.
So that
amazing.
Was the omnipresent Swami in front of me.
I think every student has had these moments. You know,
yeah.
you ask any student, nobody would have left the portals of Bhagwan's university having some experience like this where Bhagwan have just in an instant revealed who he is. So what about you, Abhinav? How was it when you were a student? Or when you became a student, rather?
Yeah. Similar, I mean. An incident when even I realized that fact. It was after my 12th standard, wherein we had come for a drama from Maharashtra, as a part of Maharashtra youth. We did a Shivaji drama in the year 2008 Jan. So we had very less hopes of getting into Swami's institute, knowing, you know, it's completely in his hands, so it's nothing that is controlled by us. And I had this beautiful mentor, Mr. Tushar Swadia, who mentored us from Mumbai to join the institute. And he had suggested us that why don't we carry our application form after Swami's, after the drama, we can just sit there and we can get the form blessed by Swami. That would be a very good idea. So we all were okay, yes, let's give it a try. So what happened was, on the previous evening of our drama, we were near the south block, that's opposite Swami's Yajur Mandir, wherein there was a practice those days that people used to halt there, say a 2-minute prayer, and then move forward because they could actually see Swami's room from the south block. And same was the case with us, me and few friends of mine who were going to perform the next day morning as a part of Maharashtra youth. We stood there and we just did our small prayer. And just jokingly, I remember even Brother Lakshmikant, one of the brothers, who also was with me, with the form. And we were just joking, and I said that, in Hindi, I said, "Yaar, kal jab hum, wo drama ke baad baithe honge wahan pe, Swami should just call, VC ko bulao." or inko admission do. And we all literally laughed. Okay, just like this, we all literally laughed. Okay.
Like tomorrow when we are seated there, after the drama is over, Swami should just say, exactly. Just call the VC and just take these boys and draw any.
It was so amazing. That thought was so
even
amazing.
Even in dramas, everything was dramatic.
So we actually thought, we were just joking about it. When tomorrow after the group photo, when we take the form to Swami to get it blessed, Swami should just say, call the Vice Chancellor, VC, and you know, give admission to this boy. And we laughed it out. Then we just forgot it. And we went ahead, had some bakery things, and it just got wiped out of our memory. That something like this happened. Next day, we performed. I was one of the four Shivajis in the drama, and we were all seated in the front row. And three of us had the forms in our hand. When Swami came down for group photo, he graciously blessed our forms. And since we had no idea that anything of that sort can happen, we had only filled the first page. Mm-hmm. We had our photo, and then we had filled the first page, so that Swami will just place his hands on the form, and that was more than enough for us. I mean, if we didn't get the admission, fine. We'll have a paper that was touched with Swami. Yeah. So that was enough for us. And we, after that, Swami went back to the dais, and we were seated there in front row, singing bhajans. Things were just going on smoothly, and suddenly Swami signals to the boy next to him, VC ko bulao. From the lips, we could make out that Swami was actually saying, VC ko bulao. I looked at the brother next to me. I was like, oh my God, seriously? That was, so, and we see Gokak sir coming out. He was in the portico, he comes out. Then Swami points at our forms. He said, forms low.
Take the forms.
Oh my God. Take the forms.
We did not fill them also, right?
Yeah, it was only first page. We didn't even sign on them. So Vice Chancellor signaled another brother to go get our forms, and he took away the forms. We were seated. We actually didn't know what happened just now. It was later that, I mean, we were so thrilled by that experience that yesterday we just mentioned like that as a casual comment, and that too just opposite Swami's Yajur Mandir, where he used to stay. Just after a prayer, we just mentioned casually that tomorrow Swami should do this. That's exactly what happened. We were so thrilled that that was one moment wherein we came to know that, oh my God, even what we joke about him should be careful. No, this was a pleasant experience. I don't want to bad.
Amazing. Phenomenal. Of course, as you mentioned, there's so many thoughts across my mind. But when this was unfolding, at that time, did you recollect what you said? Or did it occur
only,
later?
Later. Come out, yeah. Suddenly realize, oh my God, this was not happening.
Yeah, because most of the time, that's what I have noticed. You know, when it actually is happening, you know, you'll be in such a haze and maze that you never really know it happening. And that's another thing that I have seen in Bhagavan. When he gives us those profound moments, you know, those are moments which become eternal springs of inspiration for us to reflect on for time to come. But at that moment, you really do not know what you are getting many times. But it's because of that mystery that it becomes eternally something for you to drive lessons from. Amazing. Phenomenal. Sandeep, can I go back to you? You're someone who is now in the hostel with all the other brothers, and you also now have been interacting with a lot of students who are joining the university now, and there are students perhaps who have joined the university post 2011,
yeah,
and they have probably left the portals of the university also.
Yes,
somebody would have studied for like 2 years or 3 years and would have left, and so we actually have a generation of Sai students who actually did not physically see Swami. As a hostel teacher, I want to ask you how easy or difficult it has been in trying to instill those values that Bhagwan so beautifully instilled into us. You know, his one glance did that magic. You know, his one moment with him, one touch did the magic. Nobody needed to do anything more. But how is it now in the hostel?
Maybe I'll answer this with an incident.
Mm-hmm.
With an experience of a student. It was in 2011, 2012. You know, I just joined the hostel as a research scholar, and we were asked to, you know, be teachers for the first UG students. So me along with a senior brother, two of us were sitting, and we were taking the first meeting for the first UG students. We were having an informal meeting with them. And as the meeting began, there was one student who was sitting aloof from everybody else. And even as we were talking about Swami and his, you know, philosophy, this boy was not ready to listen to us. He said, "I've come here only for education. And I don't want to listen to what you say about Satya Sai Baba, because to me, he is not God."
Oh.
And I was very much taken aback, because I had never come across such a situation, you know. And yeah, even if I think there were some boys like that, and that time Swami was there and he had his own ways of, you know, molding boys and taking, you know, doing his job. Now as I was stunned, because how can, now what will happen?
I mean, how if someone says, "I don't believe in Swami," then how can you bring him on to Sai path, talking about Swami's teachings? Because he will disengage with everything.
Not that he doesn't believe, he doesn't even want to listen to what we have to say about Swami.
Oh my God.
And the same boy, that day I remember I was just thinking about, I was thinking of Swami. I said, "Swami, how are you going to do this now? How are we supposed to handle such cases?" And then time flew, and this boy was in his third year last year, and I saw him. He was taking care of all the activities in the hostel.
Oh.
And he was giving talks on Swami.
Oh my God.
And he was so well versed with Swami's teachings. He used to give beautiful speeches. I think both of you know, I'm talking about Devjit Tadi. He's a boy from Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, just actually this afternoon I was sitting next to him for lunch. And as he sat down, he was sitting there, and I saw him, he came, very religiously put his plate down. And almost for 4 minutes or 5 minutes, he was sitting and chanting Brahma Arpanam and praying to Swami, beautifully mixing the rice and sambar and keeping it aside for Swami. Then I was stunned. I was saying, "Devji, do you remember the first day you were sitting aloof from everybody? What happened? Like, how did Swami make about this transformation?" It is then he said, "Brother, Satya Sai Baba is not a form. Satya Sai Baba to me is an experience."
Wow.
And I said, "Yeah, I was, you know, I had hairs, my body, goosebumps in my body." And then I just asked him, "So how did you experience Swami?" He said, "It was very simple. In my first, after you all started speaking to me about Swami, I just put a few tests to him."
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how brother had put a test. And Swami happened to clear all his tests.
Oh my God.
He had put some challenges, and Swami, you know, surpassed all those challenges. Then he said, some of them were very personal, some of them were impossible, and Bhagwan has, you know, passed all those challenges which I've put on him. And that's how Swami has, you know, molded him. That's how he got full devotion to Swami. And now, in fact, when he goes back to Nepal, before he goes back home, he goes for various service activities in Darjeeling and Sangse. There's a school which they run. So, what I learned from this beautiful thing is that, see, we should always remember that it is Bhagwan who is working. We are all merely instruments. The only thing which we can do as, you know, Swami's teachers or Swami's sevaks in ashram is, we must be hollow. We must be devoid of ego, so that he can, you know, just as Krishna had this beautiful flute.
Yes.
And it was hollow, and Krishna used to, you know, beautifully play the wonderful music of the flute. So in the same way, we must make ourselves hollow so that Bhagwan can blow his divine tunes into us, and a beautiful symphony can emerge from our relationship with him. So that is all I think we need to do as Bhagwan's instruments.
Wonderful. I think someday we should have Devjit Audi in the studio to hear about his tests and challenges and the beautiful bond that emerged. And Bhagwan does it in so amazing ways. He WhatsApped his way into Abhinav's life, so he can come through anyway. He can come through stars and rain and WhatsApp. Really amazing. But I think what you mentioned, Brother Sandeep, that we have to just become hollow, like his instruments. And you know what Dev just mentioned, that Sai Baba to me is not a form, it is an experience. That is so profound.
Yeah.
In fact, a few days ago, I opened Premadhara, the letters that Bhagwan had written to all the students. And as I was reading, there was this letter that Bhagwan had written way back in 1976. Bhagwan says, though I have left you and moved away from you physically, to those who have cognized and realized the truth of my being, I am always with you, in you, around you, in my form as love, in my love form. And Swami says, their experience itself is the proof.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
This is what Bhagwan has written perhaps to students in Prashant Nilayam.
When he left to Vrindavan.
But
so, you know, relevant today.
So relevant today, you know, when you, yeah. Where Bhagwan is so clearly saying, though I have left you and moved away from you physically, to those who have cognized and realized the truth of my being, I am always with you, in you and around you, in my love form. And their experience itself is the proof. And in that letter, there are very beautiful things. Swami says, you know, I have placed and pinned all my hopes on you. I am hoping that you will fulfill all my aspirations. And then Bhagwan goes on to share that you should become fruits which have to be offered to Bhagwan. You should become the offering itself. You should become the Naivedyam. And there he says, you should become Swami's instrument. You should become the beloved of Swami. You should take each step in keeping with Swami's step. You should stand by Swami as his companions, like his shadow. I am in need of such persons. They are the very embodiments of my love. They are I am they. You should become such that you will foster the world in respect of the body, mind and spirit. You should behave in consonance with Swami's ideas and aspirations. It is only then that you will have given comfort and happiness to your parents, to the world and to Sai.
Very wonderful message.
Really, you know, whenever you read this, it just really fills you with so much of Sai Josh,
yeah.
I would say. And where Bhagwan, you know, it is one occasion Bhagwan is telling, I am in need of such persons. And he's telling, they are the very embodiments of my love. I am they and they are, and they are I. You know, if you really become that flute, then you are no different from the music that comes from the flute. That music will do the magic that Krishna did.
Yeah.
And that's really, and I think what Swami has, or is doing with all of us, if we reflect on whatever has happened to all of us, it is not that, you know, we have chosen Swami. Even that he has taken it, that he has done it for us. He has chosen us actually.
Right,
who are we to even choose him?
Choose him, exactly.
He has chosen us. It's all the story of not how I became a Sai Sanadhi member. It's all the stories of how Sai gave me that chance to become a Sai Sanadhi member out of
so many
thousands and lakhs and millions of youngsters in the world. There are this exclusive 100, 200 who have this opportunity to become a camphor. And it's really wonderful, brothers. Thank you so much. I know we can go on.
Yeah.
There is so much to share. And I think, yes, this satsang should go on. This saga of Sai in Sai Sanidhi should go on. Thank you so much for coming. And I really hope and pray that this group only expands. We have more and more brothers joining us, and together, as Bhagwan always says, you know, with unity there will be purity and we'll finally go to divinity. Together we become one, we live for him and become, as Brother Sandeep said, beautiful instruments singing his melody. Thank you so much for coming to the studios.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, brother. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So dear listeners, That was Brother Abhinav Nair, Sai Praneeth, and Sandeep Patnaik, former students of Bhagwan's University, who are now members of Sai Sanidhi, who are now living with the boys in the hostel, pursuing their PhD, and are his instruments in spreading his mission of education and human values. And there are so many stories like this. Each story of every Sai Sanidhi member is something which is very, very poignant. As I mentioned before this program started, you can get a glimpse of this if you watch the video of the September 6th, 2015 program that was held in Sai Gurbanth Hall. In the future episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, we will, by His grace, share more of these stories and derive inspiration how to make our lives His melody, how to make our lives His message, how to be a melody in His song. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and on behalf of everyone in Radio Sai, I thank each one of you for your beautiful company. Keep sending us your emails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Before I conclude, even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by the youth from Maharashtra and Goa. This was presented in front of Bhagwan on 6 January 2008. And the name of this drama is Chhatrapati Shivaji. It's quite a coincidence, if you are listening to the program today, it is Chhatrapati Shivaji, and there was a really amazing incident about Chhatrapati Shivaji. You know, that's how Bhagwan works. That's how Bhagwan works. It's really fantastic. So let's tune ourselves to Him every moment and make our lives beautiful, melodic, fantastic. Thank you so much. As I sign off, I place our humble salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet for this opportunity to be a tiny part in His role working in Radio Sai and having this opportunity to share His love and His message. Thank you so much. Sai Ram. Mm-hmm.